Upon this day, the people of St. Pierre were terrified by the blasts from Pili. No inhabitant of the city was permitted to leave, but, as recorded by Heilprin, the captain of the steamship Orsolina did break away. They tried to hold him. The pronouncement was read to him, and officialdom threatened him, but, with half a cargo, he broke away. His arrival at Havre is told of, in the Daily Messenger, Paris, June 22. The authorities of the port of St. Pierre had refused to give him clearance papers, but, terrified by the blasts from the volcano, he had sailed without them. The people of St. Pierre were trying to escape, but they were bound to the town by chains of soldiers. Even in discreetly worded accounts, we read of these people, running in droves in the streets. In storms of ashes, turned back at all outskirts, by the soldiers, they were running in whirlpools. Not one word of retreat, nor of any modification, came from the two professors. They had spoken in accordance with the dogmas of their deadly cult. Considered locally, an effusion of ashes was not considered alarming, and no relationship with wider disturbances could be admitted. The professors had spoken, and the people of St. Pierre were held to the town. The people were hammered and stabbed back, or they were reasoned with, and persuaded to stay. Just how it was done, one has to visualize for oneself. It was done. At night there was a lull. Then blasts came from the volcano. Screaming people ran from the houses. The narrow streets of this white city were dark with people, massing one way, only to gather against the military confines, sweeping some other way, only to be turned back by soldiers. Had there been darkness, some of them might have escaped, but even at sea the glare from the volcano was so intense that the crew of a passing steamship, Lord Antrim, were almost blinded. As seen from the sea, the streets, hung up on the mountainside, distorted by smoke and glare, fluttered. Long narrow crowds darkening these fluttering streets, folds of white garments of a writhing being, chained, awaiting burning. Upon the morning of the 8th, the city of St. Pierre was bound to the stake of M.T. Pili. There was a rush of flames. In the volcanic fires that burned the city, 30,000 persons perished. 28. Early in October, 1902, vast volumes of smoke, of unknown origin, obscured all things at sea, and made navigation difficult and dangerous, from the Philippines to Hong Kong, and from the Philippines to Australia. I do not know of anything of terrestrial origin that, with equal density, ever has had such widespread effects. Vesuvius has never been known to smoke up the whole Mediterranean. Compared with this obscuration, smoke at a distance from Krakatoa, in August, 1883, was only a haze. For an account, see the Jour. Roy. Med. SOC, 30-285. Hong Kong Telegraph, October 25, that a volcanic eruption in Sumatra had been reported. Science, NS, 23-193, that there had been no known eruption in Sumatra, that perhaps there had been enormous forest fires in Borneo and Sumatra. Sarawak, Borneo, Gazette, October-November, 1902, no record of any such fires. There came something that was perhaps not vaster, but that was more substantial. If a story of a sandstorm in a desert is dramatic, here is a story of a continent that went melodramatic. Upon the 12th of November, upon all Australia, except Queensland, dust and mud fell from the sky. Then densest darkness lit up with glares. Fires were falling from the sky. Sometimes there are abortive embryos that are mixtures and eye looking out from ribs, other features scattered. Fires and dust and darkness, mud that was falling from the sky. Australia was a womb that was misconceiving. A fireball burst over a mound, which flickered, and frightened sheep ran from it or, reflecting glares in the sky, abreast leered, and stuck out a long, red mob of animals. A furrowed field or ribs in a haze and a stare from the embers of a bushfire. An avenue of trees, heavy with mud, sagging upon a road that was pulsing with carts or black lips, far from jaws, closing soggily upon an umbilical cord, in vainly attempted suicide. Fireballs started up fires in every district in Victoria. They fell into cities, and set fire to houses. At Wishproof, the whole air seemed on fire. All day of the 12th, and the next day, dust, mostly red dust, sifted down upon Australia, falling, upon the 13th, in Queensland, too. Smoke rolled in upon Northern Australia, upon the 14th. A substance that fell from it was said to be ashes. One of the descriptions is of a light, fluffy, grey material, Sydney Daily Telegraph, November 18. How many of those who have a notion that they're pretty well read, have ever heard of this discharge upon Australia? And what are the pretty well read but the pretty well led? Little of this tremendous occurrence has been told in publications that are said to be scientific, and I take from Australian newspapers, but accounts of some of the fireballs that fell from the sky were published in Nature, Volume 67. There are reports from about 50 darkened, stifled towns, in the Sydney Herald, of the 14th business suspended nothing like it before, in the history of the colony, people stumbling around with lanterns. Traffics were gropes. Mail coaches reached Sydney, 9 hours late. Ashes with a sulfurous odor fell in New Zealand, upon the 13th, Otago Witness, November 19. The cities into which fell balls of fire that burned houses were Burt, Allendale, Deniliquin, Langdale, and Chiltern. Smoke appeared in Java, and the earth quaked. A meteorite fell, at Kamsagar, Mysore, India. Upon this day of the 12th, a disastrous deluge started falling, in the Malay States, along one river, 7 bridges were carried away. There was no investigation. However, passing awareness did glimmer in one mind, in England. In a dispatch to the newspapers, December 7, 1902, Sir Norman Lockyer called attention to the similarity between the dust and the fireballs in Australia, and the dust and the fireballs from volcanoes in the West Indies, in May, of this year. Our own expression depends upon whether all this can be attributed to any eruption upon this earth, or not. The smoke, in October, cannot be so explained. But was there any particular volcanic activity upon this earth, about November 12, 1902? The most violent eruption of Kilauea, Hawaii, in 20 years, was occurring, having started upon the 10th of November. There was a geyser of fire from the volcano Santa Maria, in Guatemala, having started upon October 26. About the 6th of November, Colima, in Mexico, began to discharge dense volumes of smoke. The volcano Saadi, in Samoa, broke out, upon the 13th, having been active, though to no great degree, upon October 30. According to a dispatch, dated November 14, there was an eruption in the Windward Islands, West Indies. Stromboli burst into eruption upon the 13th. About this time, Mt. Chulapeta, in Peru, broke out. But the smoke that appeared, with an earthquake, in Java, was the spans of an ocean and a continent far away. New Zealand is nearer all these volcanoes, except Stromboli, than is Australia, but dust and ashes fell a day later in New Zealand. Fireballs fell enormously in Australia. Not one was reported in New Zealand. Nothing appeared between New Zealand and these volcanoes, but dense clouds of smoke between Australia and the Philippines, delayed vessels until at least November 20, Hobart Mercury, November 21. So we regard the unexplained smoke of October and November, as continuous with the discharges of November 12, and relate both, as emanations from one source, which is undiscoverable upon this earth. There was a new star. Popular Astronomy, 3060 that, in October, 1902, a new star appeared in the southern constellation Puppis. Upon the 19th of November, a seismic wave, 6 feet high, crashed upon the coast of South Australia, Sydney Morning Herald, November 20. Upon this day the new star shone at its maximum of 7th magnitude. See our expression upon phenomena of August, 1885. If, in November, 1902, a volcanic discharge came to Australia from a southern constellation, it came as if from a star region to the nearest Earth region. But, if constellations be trillions of miles away, no part of this Earth could be appreciably nearer than any other part, to any star. So extraordinary was terrestrial, volcanic activity at this time, that it will have to be considered. Like other expressions, our expression here is that mutually effective outbursts spread from the land of the stars to and through the land of this Earth, firing off volcanoes in the disturbances of one organic and relatively little whole. It was a time of extremist drought in Australia. Thunderstorms that came, after November 12, were described as terrific. As a glimmer of awareness, Lockyer told of the fireballs that came with the dust to Australia, and the suggestion to him was that there had been a volcanic discharge. But there was something that he did not tell. He did not know. It was told of in no scientific publication, and it reached no newspaper published outside Australia. After the first volley of fireballs, other fireballs came to Australia. I have searched in newspapers of all continents, and it is my statement that no such fireballs were reported anywhere else. All were so characterized that it will be accepted that all were of one stream. Perhaps they came from an eruption in the constellation Puppis, but my especial expression is that, if all were of one origin, and if, days apart, they came to this Earth, only to Australia, they so localized, because this Earth is stationary. For references, see the Sydney Herald, and the Melbourne Leader. There was a meteoric explosion, at Parramatta, November 13. A fireball fell and exploded terrifically, at Karkur. At Murrumburra, NSW, dust and a large fireball fell, upon the 18th. A fireball passed over the town of Ningan, night of the 22nd, intensely illuminating sky and ground. Upon the night of the 20th, as reported by Sir Charles Todd, of the Adelaide Observatory, a large fireball was seen, moving so slowly that it was watched 4 minutes. At 11 o'clock, night of the 21st, a fireball of the apparent size of the sun was seen at Toowoomba. An hour later, several towns were illuminated by a great fireball. Upon the 23rd, a fireball exploded at Ipswich, Queensland. It is of especial importance to note the record of one of these bombs, or meteors, that moved so slowly that it was watched 4 minutes.